have been in a series of messages from the words of Jesus and have looked at some of what I think, at least for me, are some of the deepest things that Jesus said and did. And there's so many. And every time you open your Bible and your heart is listening and seeking, whatever Jesus said may strike you that way. Some of Jesus' parables to me are just so deep and insightful, and I love to read them afresh and anew and ask, what does God's Spirit want to say to me? We've also looked at some of the interactions that Jesus has had with different people, and again, we learn so much from his example and just watching him. And then we've also looked at several scriptures from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' special teaching in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, where he gives a lot of insight and counsel to his disciples. In those chapters, Jesus covers in the Sermon on the Mount some topics and life issues that are very real for us. And this morning, I want to point us to a particular thing that Jesus said and to a topic that I know is important, at least to me, and I'm sure at different times in your life is to you. Sometimes when we read the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we feel encouragement and kind of comfort, and we just kind of feel the presence of God with us to help us and take us along. Sometimes we might hear a challenge that Jesus gives us, sometimes a warning. You know, Jesus' words, they kind of range from the most gentle to what would strike us as being very forceful. And as you read the heart of Jesus and the words of Jesus, you'll find a great variety of ways that I believe the Son of God tries to speak to us. But in every place, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, in everything we read in Jesus, he's always speaking to the heart. I don't hardly find anything in the words of Jesus that's not written or spoken to my heart and to our heart. Sometimes about my faith, sometimes about how I make priorities, sometimes about relationships. We know that Jesus uniquely knows who we are. He knows our weaknesses, and he speaks to those needs that we have and with great insight. And also, I think of Jesus speaking as a shepherd. He has a shepherd's heart. Whatever Jesus says, whether it's gentle or whether it's hard, Jesus is speaking as a shepherd who loves deeply and cares deeply about who we are. In the Sermon on the Mount, we recognize that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to the followers there. You might say it in today's terms, he's speaking to the church and to us and to me. And so specifically today, I want to read some of Jesus' words and some other scriptures, and there are a lot of them about how we deal, especially with conflict. I want to talk this morning about conflict. Conflict, we know, is a part of life. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of being human. And especially this morning, I want to talk about conflict in the body of Christ and among the church and in the church. As much as I wish that conflict was not also a part of the church, we all know, if we've been alive more than a few days, we all know that conflict comes to us in every corner of life. It comes to us in our jobs. It comes to us in our neighborhoods. It comes to us in our families, in our relationships, in our marriage. And conflict also can be and sometimes is a part of who we are as Christians. And so what does Jesus say to the church? What does he say to his people? What does he say to the body of Christ about conflict? And what can we learn from the heart of God about times when we experience conflict and we experience things that are painful to us and we're not sure what to do with? Christians are not immune to conflict. You know that, and I know that. And we cannot always avoid conflict. Sometimes the best we can do is react to conflict in our lives, in our families, in situations that come up. We wish it weren't so, but Jesus said, as long as we live in this world, we're going to have conflict. We're going to have pressures and problems and tribulation, as one translation says. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we know that we can't avoid conflict. And dealing with our conflicts is the issue that I want to speak about this morning. Not that we have conflicts, because we know that we do, but how do we deal with conflicts that we feel in our hearts, and especially in relationship to the body of Christ? The church can in some ways be challenged in conflict in ways unique to the world. I mean, because there's such a high standard of what we know God wants for us as believers, it may even hurt a little more deeply when we're in conflict and we're not sure what to do about it. But there are some very practical things, I believe, that Jesus said and the scriptures tell us about how we handle those conflicts. And how do we handle our feelings? We all have feelings. That's part of our being created uniquely, individually, in the image of God. We deal with feelings that sometimes we can't control. Sometimes I've often said, you can't help what you feel. We all have feelings. And sometimes when we've hurt someone or been hurt by someone, those feelings are a part of us that we can't always escape from. And what does the Bible say to us about those types of things that come to us? I want to read the words of Jesus in just a few minutes, but there's a couple things I want to say about conflict before we do that. And one of the first things that comes to my mind is the importance when we have conflict of always looking within. Always looking within when we have conflict. James chapter 4 says it like this. He kind of asks the question, if you go on to that next slide, he asks the question, where do conflicts come from? And so a basic answer from the scripture, again, this is a general principle. It doesn't apply to every time there's conflict, but generally, the Bible tells us and reminds us that when we have conflict, we should always look within. It says in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. As much as we don't like to think about it or say it, a lot of the quarrels that we have in life, whether they're in our family, in our marriage, with our parents, in the workplace, is because we don't get something we want. And that's kind of a basic truth of human nature, that sometimes we kind of hold our chin up a little bit and we're not so quick to recognize and remember. And maybe when we have conflicts, we're not so quick to admit that really the reason that we have so much conflict is we don't always get our way. And that's a beginning point, I believe, to think about conflict and what Jesus said about conflict, and that, you know, we don't always get what we want. And when we don't, sometimes those little things within us seem to rear their heads and begin to dominate our feelings on the inside. And so it makes it difficult to resolve conflict because we don't get what we want. Maybe the strength of our personality, maybe because we have always wanted it to be a certain way, or we're used to it a certain way, or we're just used to basically getting what we want and choosing what we don't realize that the root of that is what James talks about, that conflict comes most of the time, I would say, because we don't get what we want. There's something within us that we don't get, and so I think one of the first things that's important for us to do when we have conflict is to step back and ask the question, am I having conflict because I'm not getting something I want? That doesn't mean that it's wrong to want. It doesn't mean that you should always not get what you want at all. But it's important to look at, am I upset? Is there conflict in this relationship? Because there's two people and there's two ways to do it, and both people can't get what they want, either your way or my way. And conflict often comes from that. Whether we're believers or not, we all have the tendencies to want our way. At least, I know I do. And I would imagine most of us would say that. I have an opinion about most everything. And usually I have an idea of how it should be. And I have an idea about how it should be in church sometimes, and how we should do our business, and how we should do our ministry. And I realize that I'm one of a lot of other people. And sometimes people see things very different than I do. To realize that just because I have a way that I think it should be, I have to go back to James chapter 4 and remember the scripture also. Am I unhappy? Is there conflict in the relationship because I've not got something that I wanted? It's a part of human nature. Being able to step back from our conflicts to see those tendencies is very important. Sometimes that's hard to do. It's hard for any of us to do that. But this scripture to me just is a reminder that God wants us to have a heart that always steps back. Am I unhappy because I didn't get something that I wanted? And there's also another tendency that I want to talk about, and then I'm going to move to the words of Jesus. And I think this tendency can be a part of our nature depending on our personality, and that's in the whole area of being hurt and being offended. And that is, sometimes, honestly, we can be offended too easily. We can feel hurt too easily. And I realize within the scope or in the parameter of personalities that sometimes this is a trap that people fall into. And in the church, it's that way. Sometimes people are hurt because of things that have been done or said. Something's happened in the past, and they've allowed that to get deep down inside of them. And then it begins to affect their feelings. Begins to affect their feelings toward other people and how they see them and their ability to be close to them or to trust them or to understand or to have a sense of closeness and unity with them. And so I just want to say as a caution, depending on who you are and your personality, you might be on that side this morning on the side of conflict, that you can be easily offended. I know as a pastor, there's been times in my ministry that I've offended people, and I don't know that I've ever intended to offend somebody, but I have. I have sometimes in the way that I've done what I do and the way that I pastor and the way that I deal with problems and the way I talk to people about things that are going on in their lives. And there's been times when I've offended them and I've not intended to. Sometimes I feel like this is an area in the church that we have to be very careful about, of how easily we're offended. It can also go the other direction, but this morning, I just want to say to you as a church family, and if this is an area that Satan gets a hold of you, and this might be the hook that Satan uses on you, look at and ask the question, am I being offended too easily? Am I too easily hurt by people? Do I take things too far within? And if I do, the only way to cure that is to come before God and say, God, help my spirit to be right. On the other side of the easily being offended, and an area that I feel like sometimes in the church we need to be on guard against, is the other side, and that is that sometimes we can be too insensitive to each other. We can have kind of an attitude that says, I really don't care what other people feel. I really am just going to be who I am. Just deal with it, you know. People don't like what I say. They don't like what I do. They don't like my attitude. Just tough. That's equally wrong before the Spirit of God, to have a kind of an attitude that just doesn't care about how people feel and dismisses people's feelings is wrong. And again, I feel like in the church, in the body of Christ, this is probably an area that is good for us to think about and to pray about, and our relationships and how we come across to other people. Sometimes people are hurt. Sometimes they're hurt because we do dumb things, and sometimes maybe they're hurt because they get offended too easily. But Jesus says something to each one of us about the offenses that we feel in our hearts and our lives. And some tendencies can be to be offended too quickly, and other people have an insensitivity that can lead to people being hurt. But whatever the case, I know that God wants us to have a spirit of healing and a spirit of reconciliation in relationship. In this area of offenses, I know that it needs to be an ongoing part of our Christian maturing and faith, and having a spirit of openness about how to deal with our feelings and how to deal with people that hurt us and how to deal with people that have been hurt in the past, either because someone has done something to hurt them or there's a perceived feeling of offense. We can allow Satan, the Bible says, to get his foot in the door. And being offended is one of those areas. We can allow Satan to get his foot in the door of our lives. And if he gets the foot in the door, then he just continues to work in our hearts and our emotions and our feelings. And Jesus would speak to that. There are two things that Jesus said specifically that I want us to read this morning about being offended, about being hurt. Two sides to a coin. Just like I said, there's two sides to the coin of being offended too easily, and also being insensitive to people. I want you to consider two sides of a coin of Jesus spoke about this area. The first one is this: when someone feels hurt by you. Let's go go on to that next slide, please. When someone feels hurt by you, Jesus speaks specifically to this. If you have your Bible and you want to read along, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Two verses here that I want to read in the context of Jesus' words about when someone feels hurt by you. You notice there that I didn't say when you've hurt somebody intentionally or that you have done something wrong to somebody, but when someone feels hurt by you, what does Jesus want for you? What does He want when there's somebody out there that's been hurt? Chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. I noticed here that Jesus doesn't pronounce anybody to blame in this broken relationship. He doesn't say that the person was too easily offended or that you were at fault or you sinned against your brother or you did something wrong to your brother, but he simply said, if you come before me and you know that your brother has been offended, has been hurt, first go to your brother. Jesus gives us a deep picture, a deep lesson of how we should see people. How do we see people that have feelings that have been hurt? How do we see people who have either experienced something very difficult or painful? How do we look at them? What responsibility do we take for them? And Jesus puts the responsibility on the one who knows that the brother's been offended. You notice here the responsibility Jesus puts on the person who comes, and as far as they know, they've not done anything wrong, but they've come to offer their gift to God. We kind of think of it, they come for worship, whether that's in a group or individually, or they just come before God, and they're offering themselves to God, and there they realize and remember that there's somebody out there that feels offended by them. What are they supposed to do about it? Jesus tells us here very clearly that that person is responsible to first go to that person and try to be reconciled. I think that one of the most important things that we can do when we have conflict is to develop the ability to listen better. Listen with an open heart. To be able to go to someone that's been hurt and be able to listen to them without judgment. Be able to hear their heart, hear their need, hear their hurt, hear their pain, hear where they're at, and know that in listening to somebody that's been hurt, God can bring about His healing and His help. Listening with an open heart, listen carefully, to have a teachable spirit. I know how hard it is sometimes to listen to somebody when we already have an opinion about them, how easy it is for us to have already reached our decision and our judgment about who they are and why they got to where they were and where they're at. But I'm reminded how important it is to listen to one another, to have a kind of humble spirit and be able in conflict to step back from the conflict that we feel and to step into the shoes of another person and hear their heart, because we do know that everybody feels a little bit different and sees things very different. And you and I both have been in conflict situations when we have felt it was one way and it seems like so clear to us, but when we're able to step back and listen, and we may be able to hear something different that would help us to understand why somebody is so hurt or somebody is so offended. But what kind of the strong thing about this scripture and the words of Jesus is the call for the person who knows there's offense to go to that person and to try to reconcile to them. James chapter 1 says it a little bit like this, and he starts out, "My dear brothers," again, here's James, he's talking to the church here. He's given us advice. He's given me advice. He's giving you advice about what happens when there's conflict and what does God want? Well, he gives us three things right off the bat. He says, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." How important it is to be quick to listen. Quick to listen is not always easy for us. It's not always easy for me, but I'm reminded in God's word of how important it is when somebody's been hurt to be able to listen to them and hear their heart and be able to listen more than we speak. The Proverbs also say a quiet answer. One translation says, turneth away wrath. We know that when we're able to listen to somebody and hear what they've gone through and what they feel and what they've experienced, that it can open the door for them to find healing and for them to be able to work through the issues that we have. Many conflicts, I believe, can be resolved when there is a spirit of listening and humility. So many times in broken relationships, whether they're in the family, they're in the marriage, or they're in the workplace, many relationships can be resolved if we are resolved to listen humbly to one another and to put into practice this verse, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. How quickly we can rise up with our own feelings, but we're reminded how important it is for us to be able to listen to other people. And then Jesus said, first go and be reconciled to your brother. Those are pretty strong words that Jesus used. When you realize that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. That does put the great responsibility on every believer. It's like we're not excused when we've had conflict or somebody's had conflict. It isn't that God just says, okay, you don't ever need to think about that, or you don't ever need to try to do anything to change that or to fix that or to reconcile that. I notice in this story, the responsibility is on the brother who knows that someone has been offended, that we would go to them. We also know that reconciliation is not always possible, but Jesus calls us to do all that we can. Jesus calls us in humbleness and quietness to go to an offended brother. And when we do that, it's amazing what God can do to heal broken relationships. You and I both have known relationships that have been very divided, and there's been a path found for reconciliation. And it begins with the words of Jesus, with a humble heart, when we desire to go to our brother or our sister and to find reconciliation. Thinking of all the hurt and pain there is in the world, you think, well, reconciliation is not always possible. That's true, and we all know that. But we also know that Jesus gives us a path for us. In the body of Christ, we're to be different. We're to be different in how we handle our conflicts than people in the world. We're to stand out in the desire in our hearts not to let things offend us and break relationship, but always reaching out, to one another. We don't give up on each other. We love and care about people no matter where they're at, no matter where they might be in their feelings or their hurts or their pains. We're called as Christians to reach out to one another. And then Jesus also talked about the other side. When someone has hurt you, someone, and we know what that's like. None of us have gotten through life without being hurt by someone. Someone sometimes that should not have hurt us. Maybe someone who didn't understand us, or someone that sees things different than us. Sometimes the closest people in our lives hurt us, and we struggle to know what to do about those feelings. We've all been there. It's a part of life. And we also know that conflict can get very complicated, and we're not always sure what the right thing to do is, but there are some principles in scriptures that do give us some important principles to hold on to when we've been hurt by other people, when we've been wronged by other people. What does God want for us? And especially the words that I'm going to read are written to the church, to the body of Christ, and the principles are shifted. They're not always the same for people that are not believers, but certainly to the believers, to the body of Christ, to brothers and sisters, Christ, and the Bible gives us some very specific things that we need to always hold in our heart and our spirit and our mind. We know that when we don't deal with the feelings that we have and the pain that we have, one of the directions they can go is into bitterness if it's not handled well. And we know that bitterness destroys it. It just breaks people. It breaks their spirit and their hope and their future. Hebrews chapter 12 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If you're someone who's been hurt by others and you struggle with that, understand how important it is for you to find a path out of that bitterness and that tendency to cut off the joy that God wants in your life. Bitterness can be so defiling. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, he kind of speaks to the other side of the coin. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. One-on-one, Jesus tells us, is the way that we should deal with our conflicts with people. We should do our very best to begin at that place. And this isn't the end place, but this is where I want to focus this morning, and that Jesus calls us to go directly to people when we've been hurt by them, when Jesus uses the word has sinned against us. As I said, between brothers and sisters in Christ, a humble spirit, a listening spirit, the spirit to be able to go and to hear and to be able to share the truth in love. It says, and you have won over your brother if he listens to you. Jesus doesn't say in Matthew chapter 18 that someone who has hurt you will listen to you, because some people will and some people will not. But he says, if he listens to you, you have won over your brother. Be very careful that when you have a conflict in your heart and your spirit, that you do your very best to resolve that conflict one-on-one. That's a principle of Scripture that's so very important. It's also very important to remember some other principles about what happens when somebody's hurt you and offended you. And you might call them principles of confronting a brother. When it is time to confront someone, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 18, I want to mention four things that are so important that you remember. The first one is Jesus' words about looking within. Anytime somebody's hurt you or somebody's done something that you believe is wrong, the first reaction that you should have is to look within. Jesus said it like this. He said, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then go and you can see the splinter that's in your brother's eye. And so many times when we have conflict, it's so easy to see the other person's fault. It's so easy to put them and label them and put them into a category. They're the one that's wrong. They're the one that did me wrong. And sometimes we almost use that as an excuse not to look within who we are, how we've reacted, what we've done and said and felt. And I just think this is probably the most important principle that we can have in conflict. And that's always to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, God, would you look into my heart when I have conflict? Look at me. Help me to see myself. The inability to do this wrecks relationship. It wrecks marriages. It wrecks families. The inability to say, God, what about me? What about my part? What about my attitude? What about the things in my heart that has affected me and affected how I see the other person? First, take the plank out. When you go one-on-one to your brother, look first within. And also the Scriptures talk about speaking the truth in love, that there's a certain standard for the body of Christ is to be different from the world, and that is that when we confront one another, we always speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth without love is not what God wants in broken relationships. He wants us to speak the truth in love, always to have a spirit of love. Paul says, put on over everything else the garment of love, the spirit of love. And when you have a deep love inside your heart, then you are able to see things differently. I'm also reminded of the importance of not judging one another in relationships and in conflict. How easy it is to believe that the other person is not doing what's right. And sometimes I've fallen in this area, and sometimes I've doubted people's motives, and that wasn't the right thing to do. Sometimes I thought I knew exactly what was right and what was best, and I've tended sometimes. There's been times in my life and as a pastor in 25 years when I look back and I wished I would have listened more. I wished I wouldn't have been so quick to react. I wished that I would have not been so quick to think that I knew the answer. The Scriptures talk about how important it is. Would you go on to that next slide, please, Nate? How important it is that we not judge one another. Romans 14 says, who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And this can be another one of those places that Satan hooks you. Depending on your personality, you might be in that place where you're always sure you're right and you're always sure the other person is wrong. You have conflict in your life. You really ought to go to this verse and say, God, help me not to be judgmental about other people. Help me not to always be so sure that I'm right, that the door is closed to listen to and hear conflict in the other person. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? And the fourth one is this, the importance of humility and meekness and gentleness in restoring relationships. How important it is for every single one of us to have a spirit of gentleness when we have conflict. It's so easy to put the gloves on, so easy to start saying things and reacting. I have that too. I'm preaching to me today. Very practical things about my life, about being a pastor and dealing with problems and people's opinions and these are things that are important for me to hear. And I know that they are for you too. How important it is that we are able to step back in humility and meekness and gentleness. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 1 says, brothers, if anyone is overtaken with a fault, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. The only way to confront a brother is with gentleness. The only way to confront with truth is gentleness and meekness and humility. A lot of words can be used to describe how we should approach someone who's hurt us. These are good words to put in your heart and your spirit. First word is patience. Patience. How should we deal with people that have wronged us or that people that we've wronged with patience? You know, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, to be patient with people. Be reminded how important it is to be patient with people. We're all on a journey. Some are further ahead than others. Some are way back there. More than others. But God calls us to be people who are full of patience. Mercy. I think of one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible in the Old Testament. Talks about what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. It's good to step back. Might be good for you to step back from maybe a conflict that you feel, or maybe conflict from something in the past. And does God want me to be more merciful? Grace, forgiveness, all important in the eyes of God. When you struggle to forgive, remember that it's Jesus who makes forgiveness possible. It's Jesus on the cross that makes forgiveness, and that we can even understand it and perceive it, and we need Him. He is our example. He's the one that we need to come to and say, Jesus, help me. He is our strength. One of the reasons that we're going to have communion this morning is to be reminded of how much we need Jesus in dealing with conflicts, broken relationships, and that we can come to Him and say, Jesus, help us. Help us in this area.